Alright, time for another DoNotGod.com video presentation. Yes. I'm face palming. I do like that shirt. Anyway, alright, video. Kind of a tricky. I just want to kind of talk about, you know, this people's state of mind and how they got that state of mind. And, you know, as I've sort of pointed out, some of these subjects seemed almost like you gained instant knowledge of them and you didn't need to do much contemplating to realize, you know, it's not the game being played by other people looked foreign to me really quickly. Okay, I didn't understand adults at all. It's like, oh man, it's like the last thing in the world you want to do is grow old, because their lives don't look like any fun at all. And I guess part of that just gets to this whole sex subject, which I really don't want to play with, in terms of, you know, it seemed kind of early on, you know, like my first memories, frankly, of how pleasurable certain states of arousal could be, and that I was quite certain that whatever future I had, it would have to include something that entertained my penis, and that was about, you know, that was going to be the major force in driving me into my future, because everything else seemed quite pale and dull and uninteresting by comparison. I could literally spend hours, if I was allowed, just wallowing in the sensual kind of stuff. And, you know, this is long before orgasms. Frankly, I could almost argue that orgasm sort of ruins the fun, because it, you know, it drives you to just a minute. All right, where was I? yeah, so anyway. So, you know, and so the, you know, but the philosophical perspective was generally just recognizing that I must be some sort of pervert, frankly. That's how I kind of figured that I don't see the crap they're doing as much fun because, you know, it doesn't involve penises, most of it. I mean, all of it, almost. All of the sanctioned fun doesn't have anything to do with the thing I found to be the most fun. And so that didn't make a whole lot of sense to me, right? That what is a sanctioned pleasure just isn't much, you know, and the unsanctioned one is one you're not allowed to even, you're not even allowed to in any way indicate, you know, that you are at all interested in this sensual stuff. You're supposed to do that, you know, outside of any participation with the rest of the world. So it is kind of isolating right from the start. That the most important thing in your life is supposed to be the least part that you are, you're supposed to just hide it. You know, it's supposed to be something kept away. And yeah, so that turns you into, in my opinion, a bit of an introvert. You know, just because, partially because, well, nothing you can do with other people is interesting because it doesn't have anything to do with, you know, playing doctor or something. If you're not doing that, then you're not doing anything interesting with other people. And so that was my state of mind. And what came first and what came later is always hard to figure out exactly. I mean, did the cynicism create this sense of, you know, panic about being too different, you know, and therefore, you know, create this this line between me and civilization or the world, where I felt very much apart from it. Or is it just the fact that, yes, I was also recognizing that there was all these creatures in the world and all these things going on that nobody seemed very interested in, and it seemed to me that all these things were incredibly interesting, and they deserved some appreciation, and we should do what we can for them to prevent harm coming to the little critters. And the society seemed to be exactly the opposite in terms of the norms were as to, we used to have a lot of caterpillars in Louisiana, and you'd burn them off their trees. People would just burn them, And, maybe you had to do it, but I'm just saying it's obviously counterintuitive, okay? I would argue to someone new to the world being introduced to this ritual of slaughter as part of your life. So, and then you could just go to all the other examples where you go to some, friend of the family's farm or something, and, you find out that they're going to kill, Weezer, the calf, in 6 months, and they're going to, and it's just, they all have an X written, they're all to be X'd out, and to be for somebody's utility, and all of that seems, again, intuitively, as a visitor to Earth, I find it hard to understand how that's all okay with you people. So that was troublesome. And I was a hypocrite in the sense that through that, I was still eating my dinner. But I have to say that, yes, I was aware of it. I was constantly thinking, oh, I'm eating cow. Oh, I'm eating pig. Oh, I'm eating, I was always acknowledging what animal I was eating and recognizing that, it had a life and somebody had to hack it to pieces. And, it didn't fit, sorry, no sale. So anyway, so that's, so I'm making these arguments to people, and I'm saying, gee, are other people that different? I mean, are they, so clearly I guess they're different in the sense that they don't find it difficult to merge into the social norms. But my brain's still saying, a man's a man. Somebody with a penis is somebody with a penis. Now, yeah, some people have penises that don't work very well. So I guess they really, they don't get it. But I just can't imagine somebody having one and thinking, oh, I can't wait till I have kids. And I never get to, do anything with my penis ever again without being a hypocrite. Or, how could you, it's like even trying to, put yourself in the position of giving somebody advice, or trying to instruct them in any way that just isn't awkward and uncomfortable. And then there's just a whole much bigger argument of why would I want to spend 18 years trying to program a robot that, you can't program very well. And it's going to get influenced by a bunch of other stuff, and it's going to have all kinds of little psychological problems, inconsistencies with your psychology, and you're not going to get it, you're not going to understand it, and you're really just going to create a monster, okay? It's not going to be it's not going to be brilliant. And why would I want that job? So I was sort of thinking of this as sort of an idea of, if these were... If you could oblige people to pick a game to play, and they'd have to play that game. You can't have it both ways. So they could play the game where, they win the Masters, or, they win Wimbledon, or they can play the game where, they have a 9-to-5 job and 4 kids, married with children. Would you really want to play that game? I mean, would you really choose that game on purpose? I mean, I just can't imagine somebody choosing that game over the, penis fun game, you know, or some other game that has some sort of idea where you get to, you know, win. You know, you don't get to just go to work and pay bills and have a little tiny bit of time. And the little tiny bit you have, you're sort of obligated to spend with kids that aren't going to be that interesting. I don't get why somebody would choose that game on purpose. So this sort of gets just back to the argument that, you know, the longer people wait in terms of to make this choice to have kids, the less kids they have and the less likely they are to have kids. And the exception are these these stewards of the social memes, you know, who wait till they're 35 and then start making a family. You almost wonder whether that's some sort of, you know, beard thing where they're just making the family so it all looks like everything's quite stable and they're really, you know, psycho killers, or they're, you know, cheating on the wife and they're doing all kinds of other crap and the family is just to make it look like they're one of them. You know, they're pretending to be body snatched when they're not really. But they're just using this family thing as a shield to cover up, you know, what's really going on. You know, what game they're really playing, or wishing they were playing, we could argue. All right, so, you know, what came to mind sort of was, all right, well, brains just want to have fun, right? So it's not girls want to have fun, you know. Song, it's really just brains. Brains just are hungry for fun. And the definition of that is in some form, like the hunger part is more about the first time, you could argue. So your first time events, you know, especially if you have a life like mine where it's sort of little pieces. You know, there's no clear first time. Then your memory of those is less powerful than the fantasies of something new or different. So I'd sort of argue that that's the, you know, the Christmas syndrome, where if you get what you're after, it seems less than it should have been, and you're now hungry for something more, or, you know, added on, or that, you know, you can't do the same thing over again. You have to somehow change the variables, you know, mix it up somehow to restore it into something that you can get excited about, so to speak. And, you know, this is all traps that your brain falls into in terms of the fact that it is hungry for these adventures, okay, whatever you want to call them. Going to the fun park, right? But you go to the fun park and it isn't as much fun as it's supposed to be. And, you know, it's just, it's kind of funny that I have very vivid memories of Disneyland going there as a kid. And I think the memories are more a consequence of the fact that I was actually going there. And so my brain concentrated more because of the excitement of going. But if I really think about the adventure itself, you know, you're underwhelmed. You know, isn't all that, is it? Standing in line and, you know, it's something, you know, to be in a place that was on TV, right? But, oh, this is what, you know, or a scene from a movie or some kind of thing being there. But it's really not all that. So that's a trap, you know, our brain keeps creating for us to keep stepping into. And frankly, it's fun to play with the trap. But actually falling into the trap, that's the part that don't work. So you want to, you know, you want to poke the trap and play with the trap. But you never want to actually step in the trap. So it's almost like a mouse defeating a mouse trap. You know, it's you sort of want to know that that's the game you're playing, is that you have impulses and desires. But the truth is, if you get what you're after, it's probably not going to be all that. Okay? And it's not going to fix all the other stuff that's broken, that isn't consistent with your fantasy life. All right, well, all this was supposed to go to the idea that it would be interesting to see how easy it would be to bribe people out of their procreation rights. You know, how much cash it would take, or offering them a better life. You know, you just say, okay, I'll make you better looking. Okay, if you don't have kids, give them some kind of, you get to date somebody, you get to meet somebody, you get to, some sort of chance at a more interesting life. And I wonder just how easy the procreators would be to bribe out of their need to have kids, their desperate need. Women really kind of devoted to it. If you offered them being able to, run an orphanage, do something where they would have a lot of kids they could work on, a lot of kids that would sort of be their kids, whether they take that job rather than having their own. I know there's a part of this somewhere that has something to do with people's egos, and that's why they want to have kids. But that's the part, again, it's hard to understand, because I understand why I was insecure. I guess I don't understand why other people weren't insecure, because frankly, they have a lot of flaws and they have a lot of defects. And I was sort of being a nitpicker. I was sort of aiming for perfection, and anything short of that, I wouldn't bother replicating. So it's a little bit hard to understand the ego part of people having kids, when so many of the people having kids, it's pretty hard to defend them having an inflated ego, because they're really not on they're not on the right side of the bell curve. So that's kind of a part that I'll probably never be able to understand, is how people, obviously not perfect, feel compelled, feel entitled to make another copy of themselves. So I guess it just has to do with the fact that they are so interested in being them that somehow they think their kid will be interested in being them. And, obviously that doesn't work that way. That's a little hard to understand. All right, I guess I'll go read my notes and see if there's some direction I can take this. All right, another slight side angle to the same subject is, okay, let's say you were infertile. I don't know, there was some bill that would say you have to pay 10% of your income to finance directly people having kids. Would you vote for it? Would you really pay to create other people? So there's no chance it's going to be you, okay? It's going to be one of them. And I just don't think people would have that much enthusiasm. So it's like if they had to really pay for, sending people to another planet, and it was real part of their income, a real substantial amount of money for the rest of their life. Every year they had to pay this tax, to finance the outhouses on Mars. I wonder if they would be all that enthusiastic for this project. It's this whole, I guess the whole engine is mostly driven by some sort of ego thing, for men, and for women, I can't speak to that. Yeah, that's a whole nother. I guess I have some right to speak about it, but it is hard to understand exactly the whole. I understand you have this useless uterus thing, and you know, it's useless if you don't use it for its purpose. So you're saying, okay, I'm supposed to be. I have these parts made for doing this thing, and so maybe I should do it. But the other side of that coin is all the stuff that's kind of obvious that isn't going to be too good for you about doing it, in the sense that your body's going to be substantially taxed by the process. It's going to steal, you know, even your bones are going to get weaker. You know, it's not going to do you much good health-wise. And, you know, then it has all these, you know, obligations tied to it for the rest of your life, pretty much. Yeah, it's just, you know, so I can't really, you know, maybe there is some instinctive need to cuddle or something, and they need something to cuddle. I don't know. I just can't make much out of that one. But, you know, clearly there's women who have chosen a different game to play in their life, and they find it interesting and challenging and fun. And again, that's the whole thing. You have to find this path through life where you have to make wherever you're heading has to have fun in it somewhere. And you can pretend you're doing it for this reason or that reason, but the real reason is the fun part. You know, I used to go to the mall, you know, not because I needed something, but because there were girls at the mall, you know, and they were fun to look at, even if you didn't talk to them. So it was a bit of cheap entertainment. And you'd return, you know, if it worked out. You know, you could keep going back, and you know, I remember meeting a couple of girls in one place, and so I kept going back to that place because we never said okay, let's meet again, and I just figured they'd come back, and they never came back. You know, so I just kept going back the same time every day, figuring, well, they're gonna remember to come back here to meet me again. You know, and it's like, I guess not. You know, so, you know, those are the little jabs you take, you know, in playing the game. You know, but I was quite, you know, driven, you know, and quite obsessed and quite, I saw a point in it, let's just put it that way. It seemed a very purposeful thing to do, even though all signs were it's not working. So I'm just saying that's the fun part, in a way, is, you know, and if you actually ended up married, then it's not fun anymore. So that's the part you gotta watch out for, you know, the fact that it smells good, but it ain't gonna eat very well. And, you know, that's part of the trick and the catch is, you know, and I have to say, at least I was, careful enough, you know, I could, the point is to model the circumstance and say, can you take these pieces of a relationship or a circumstance and can you migrate them to a future where there aren't going to end up being conflicts? And, you know, clearly you can find that out with a little bit of conversation, whether, you know, they're interested in world travel or they're interested in some, you know, and you're interested in sitting on a porch. You know, it's just not, you know, that you're not going to be compatible in the long term. You know, outside of maybe the bedroom, and that's not going to work if you're, you know, married to it. Anyway, I you know, didn't really want to get on that subject either, so I'll try again. All right, so I'll let you in on what my brain did, okay? So I sort of asked it to do something serious, and it didn't do it. Instead, it drifted off to, my personal fantasy or something like that, taking some fun activity for me, which would be hitting a golf ball. I mean, playing golf is fun for me because I understand how simple the physics is, and then the fun part is trying to do the simple thing. It's really simple. Hit the ball with the middle of the club and make the club move in the direction you want the ball to go. It's really not complicated, and yet there's a million ways to do it wrong. It's really easy to do it wrong. And so that's sort of the challenge, is to eliminate all the dumb ways to do it and try to do it the only right way. But anyway, and then you add just some flavor to that where, you know, there's some chick and, you know, eventually when you accomplish your perfect score, and the idea would be you just change the chick from day to day. You know, you just keep replaying the same clip, just change the variables, change the golf course, and then change the girl. And, if that was a video game on the shelf, it's certainly one I'd consider. I mean, I probably have better fantasies than that, but that's one of them anyway. Isn't that the truth of our circumstances, that we're living a life, but, you know, is it really the life you want to be living? You can certainly imagine a better life in a better world. Let's put it that way. You can imagine being, 16 again, and just wanting the opportunity to do it better. To be able to redo it, would be such a great feature in this game we're playing. It's just to say, okay, well, this was a mess, so fuck this game. Let's start a new one. And maybe that's what people are thinking with procreation. I don't think they're that cynical, but maybe they have some hope that they're going to relive a better life, even though there's absolutely no good reason to think they're going to relive that it's going to be them who's living it. And that's kind of having the fantasy in somebody else's brain isn't going to do you too much good, so it doesn't make too much sense. That's kind of a mess of a thought process. And so that sort of led, though, to the idea that, I'm trying to communicate, with people who don't like golf, or don't like women. And, so it's a whole different, and you're saying all these people from different places where, they're not going to hear what I'm saying because I'm not speaking anything like their language. Bro and such, and dude, whatever they're used to. It just makes all of this being a game I'm playing, which is try to communicate with people and explain a very simple idea that we all should draw the conclusion that, okay, I'm alive, I'm invested in living, that's fine, let's not make more of this, though. Because it's all so messy and it's so dangerous. Like I said, to escape, without all the terrible things that can happen to you, you really have to be very lucky in how the dice rolled to be 64 years old even. There's lots of people that didn't get that far. In lots of nasty and horrible ways, they didn't get that far. Not that getting that far is a good thing. I just mean that having all these years to acquire information and context for your existence, there's a certain, you feel a little privileged to be able to do that, to better understand the world you exist in. Appreciate that. But that just leads to the desire that I wish I knew what I knew now 50 years ago, and I could have performed my existence better if I had known, and then I could have done this, I could have accomplished this 20 years ago, instead of having to do it now when I'm old and cranky. So, anyway. So, yeah, I can't put this in the fun game category, but it's a game I feel obligated to play, so I play it, but I don't enjoy it. It's tedious, and I'm not good at it, which makes it no fun also. And so it's all kind of negative. But I'm doing the best, considering those facts, trying. So anyway, I'll pause again, see if we can find a direction here. Direction. All right, so what came to mind was the whole idea of what is, the fact that some of the best people are people who came from poor parenthood, you could argue, having the tougher life. They're more introspective, more considerate, more all that kind of stuff, blah, 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 because they know what it is to be cheated and to be, to endure unfairness and all of that kind of crap. And the people raised by people who are trying really hard, to make their kid happy and comfortable are probably not doing them any favor. So because they are rationally sympathetic and rationally empathetic and want to protect their kid from harm, they're in a sense depriving the kid of the horrible circumstances that end up building character. So this is another dilemma of parenthood. So if you really think I'd be a very good parent, well, you'd have to be thinking you'll be a very good parent because you'll be able to be a little bit sadistic and cruel and evil, because frankly your kid's probably going to need it. It'll take it further than you placating and providing a safety net and doing all the other crap that will make the kid into an asshole. It'll learn how to do it with a net, but it won't learn how to do it on its own, and that'll be a problem, because you haven't allowed it to gain the experience of reality, frankly. So there's no winning for somebody arguing for having kids and them arguing that somehow they're going to do it right. Because if they're going to argue about doing it right, they'd have to say that, yes, I'm perfectly comfortable being cruel. And if you can say those words, I don't mind it. I'll watch the kid fall on the sidewalk, and have a permanent scar on its face. I'll let that happen because it built character. So I'm using a physical scar as an example, but we know there's lots of emotional scarring. And, but if you don't, again, so that's sort of a trap for the procreators in the sense that they can't really argue that they love their kids. Because if they actually cared about their kids, they would ensure their welfare after they leave your house, not while they're in your house. And the only way you can ensure that welfare is you're going to have to grow them up. And the only way to grow them up is to have them bang into some brick walls. I think it's just a fact. So anyway, I can think it's a fact. You don't have to think it's a fact. so it doesn't matter. But anyway, so just another argument to throw out there. See if my brain can do a little better. So I'll give it another shot. All right, just to reinforce the previous statement with some part of my own realization. So this happened, when I was a teenager. I imagined having kids, and the thing of when would I let the kid cut the grass came to my mind. You know, but this is, you know, this is the keys to disaster, right? There's nothing really good that can come of it. There's lots of downsides, and it's hard to see the positive side. But clearly there's a positive side, and the kid has to conquer these responsibility things. You give them responsibility, and they have to show that they can appreciate the responsibility. So it's almost like giving them the keys to the car, and, you know, the kid pulls out of your driveway at 50 miles an hour. You know, you're not going to let that happen. And it's, you know, that's the conflict, because you have to almost let that happen. You have to let the kid prove what he's made out of and to learn these lessons. And it's just, the fact is, I wouldn't allow it to happen. So I would be a terrible parent in the sense that, yeah, I'm not going to let the kid cut the grass. Just fuck it. Do something. I mean, I'll find something where he can't get too hurt. So playing the violin or something or whatever, but something that's a lot less dangerous, you know. Because, yeah, I couldn't imagine how you live with it if you choose badly. And so it's all these things where you could end up choosing badly, and I wouldn't be able to live with the bad choice. And I'd be just, you know, all the fun of whatever fun there is in life would be sucked out of it if I did something I couldn't undo, and it was a bad thing. So that's the tricky part for, I think, somebody conscientious. If you're conscientious and careful and worried, kids is like the worst thing you want to do, because it's just about worrying. It's about every single word you speak. You have to wonder whether, did I fuck that up? Did I say that wrong? Did I give the kid the wrong impression? And the whole idea of being dishonest. You know, I mean, I can't imagine you people have no doubts about the system and how it works and what's going on, and when do you let your kid in on the fact that your generation really doesn't know what the fuck it's doing, and the world's a shithole because nobody gives a damn, and all of that crap. I mean, when do you dump that on your kid, that no matter how well he lives, if he's living with a bunch of pigs, it's still going to be a sty. And he's just going to be a better than a pig, but stuck in a pig's life. So what kind of favor is that to do a kid? It's not a favor at all. That's the point. not a favor. All right. So I have to go think some more. Because I wish it was just as simple as just say, look, we evolved on this planet from, just very rudimentary living things. And this idea of a brain was just a tool to manipulate the environment so we win and they lose. I win and he loses, even more directly. And it didn't matter whether he was better than me or any of that crap. It's just about me winning and him, who's in my way, being taken out of my way. And that's the machinery. And it's insidious. And the whole biological process is intended, for you to basically be in a game where you kill most of the kids. I mean, that's how we evolved, Just a few hundred years ago, more kids died than lived. They didn't make it to maturity, most kids. And that's the system you're part of. That's the nature, you all think is some sort of reverable function. And there's certainly nothing to revere in that. The real DNA plan, it wouldn't care if you had 1,000 kids and it killed 999 of them. As long as it made your DNA more powerful. that's not exactly the kind of game you say, I'm glad I'm on Team Nature. Yeah. All right, so it's a biological function, reproduction. And the question is that biological function, where they tied it to this candy it gives you, this reward of the sex thing. And clearly we can separate the two functions. We don't have to procreate to have sex. And so what's the reason to procreate? Once you can escape it, the liabilities of it, why wouldn't you? I mean, to me, it's a very good question. I mean, that's why I drew the conclusion at whatever, 7 years old, that I'm not having kids. I never had a moment where I could imagine it as something purely good. So even if I could possibly imagine having a little mini in Mendham, I could never think past its existence being anything other than a problem, not a solution. There was nothing about it that was going to end up making me happy. That's the part I couldn't figure out. What would be the fun part of me taking care of it, especially when it was really small and stuff? Because I don't even like looking at babies, let alone smelling them or touching them. Eek. All right, so I guess this video is me basically saying that, yes, all of this philosophy of effelism came to me young and it seemed perfectly sensible to be anti the culture as it was defined, which seemed stagnant and stuffy and restricted and no penis fun. And the idea of nature being tainted and dangerous and hostile and and not seeing anything anything for me to attach to. Okay? Like there was no friendly thing. There were just these unfriendly things of, human civilization and natural brutality. And there wasn't some fairy godmother to lead me to, the promised land or whatever, the Garden of Eden. That was a fantasy, a fake, a phony. There wasn't any place I was going to go, except I was going to be destroyed by nature or by the civilization. both. I was going to be destroyed by nature, and civilization was going to slowly but surely suck every kind of fun thought out of me. So all of this is very obvious to me, and I can't understand the counter argument that humans must continue to exist, and that all these animals that are just being ground up every day, live, die, live, die, live, die, these little short cycles of life and death, that there's anything beautiful in all that struggling and eking and suffering. So what's the point of it? Why create all those negatives for a positive you can't really describe as anything other than scratching an itch? Satisfying a need that doesn't need to exist. So the real problem is I don't have any capacity to understand the position of people who it's sort of like me understanding somebody, people who feel like they're a woman trapped in a man's body and then they hack their penis off. I can't really understand that. I mean, even if I didn't like being I can't even imagine. I still want to be a girl with a penis. I don't know how could you ever hack that thing off? So I have to really stretch my capacity to comprehend, to be able to imagine, well, what if, okay, so what if the penis gave me a headache? what if it literally made me sick? Okay, then I could understand it. So I have to do something to try to make it into some kind of complete negative. But then I really can't understand why somebody would even want to live at all. Because, for 90% of the moments I've spent conscious on Earth, I have to admit that, it involves some sort of entertainment for my penis, not entertainment for, the better part of me. Whatever. The other parts of me. That it's been a dominant occupation of fantasy and imagination has been wasted on games for my penis to play, not me. Anyway, it's a difficult subject because of the fact that we all interpret sexuality so differently that it's just almost useless to even say the words, because there are people walking around who get off on watching women murdered or something, and it's just so hard to imagine that as some sort of viable sexual entertainment. But I have to try to understand that people feel satisfied on with these kind of what I would call bizarre ways of gaining gratification. I'm trying to think of something they're proud of, and you're just saying, okay, so they're going to be proud of they have some ugly, crappy 1918 car or something that they've rebuilt. And, from my perspective, it's a piece of shit, right? It might as well be a hay wagon. And from their perspective, it's this glorious, beautiful, writing machine. And, that's the concession you have to make, is that, we're coming to the conversation with these bizarrely different definitions of valuable and pretty. Useful, even. And, that makes this very difficult. Maybe it's not something... I'd still argue that the simple arguments about being risk-averse and the obscenity of paying way too much for way too little, especially when the payment is somebody else's suffering. The argument that you shouldn't hurt somebody else to gain your gratification, just seems like that should be enough of an argument right there to stop anyone, even a psycho killer. Yeah, well, that's reaching, right? Yeah, because obviously their sadism probably permeates any kind of logic that would make it possible for them to recognize that other feeling things, that their feelings are just as important as your feelings, and you can't win by making them lose. So I guess they can't understand that argument. Probably. All right, so one more angle, I suppose. So let's say other people can identify with my statement of feeling disassociated and disconnected from the world you have to live in, and that you just pretend, to be one of them, but your whole internal life really has nothing to do with what they are, or even being honest, or anything. You're just saying nice things because you have to say nice things. And you're just trying to make it interaction expedient and hopefully in some way positive for the other person. So, you just don't bother saying anything important, you know. Well, anyway, so you're just living this kind of fake life, and it was much richer in terms of how fake it was, you know, in your youth. So all the time you were going through being a teenager and all that crap, your internal life was in no way vibrating at the same frequency. Let's see. It was no way not compatible. There was no symmetry with the world as it was. And you were just some kind of outside agent, you know, living among aliens. So maybe for a lot of people it isn't that dramatic. I'd say it's pretty much that dramatic for me. I felt completely alien. as much as you can feel alien. I mean, even question things like whether my parents were actually my parents. And, you know, I have obvious features, you know. it's pretty hard not to see how, you know, that couldn't have been, you know, a lie. But it was like I was looking for any kind of way of finding a way to say I belong somewhere else, because I certainly didn't feel like I belonged where I was. So I would imagine people have some of that anyway, and it's still in there, you know, this not very comfortable with the world the way it is, the way things happen, the rules, they're just not good enough, and it ain't the way you'd make it. And so the simple argument is, why would you have a kid in it? I mean, why would you subject them to this same kind of disconnection and alienation? I mean, it's almost like having a kid in a foreign country. You know, you have to wonder, like, oh, isn't that kind of a bold thing to do? You know, it's kind of aggressively dangerous in terms of creating some sort of, you know, identity crisis. It's kind of risky. Yeah, so it's like worse than letting them cut the grass. And people do that kind of crap all the time. So I guess it's really not something that floats through their brain regarding their obligation to make sure the project works, you know, that the boat floats. And I guess they just like making boats and they don't really care whether they sink or not. And that's a scary conclusion to have to draw, that people are that full of suck. I mean, they're so preoccupied with the them side of being a me, you know, that they can't even be a little bit distracted by the possibility, you know, that you know, what you're going to create is going to be, you know, as important as you. And you're really not setting it up to be a good game. It's going to have to play. So, yeah, especially in the world that exists now, I mean, it's just gotten so tacky and you know, it's just so, you got all this crap, coronaviruses and global warming and, you know, all kinds of political crap and bankruptcy right around the corner, all kinds of shit, you know, and people still see some sort of reason to aggressively, you know, force the issue, not have accidents, you know, to purposefully oblige somebody to grow up in this filthy nest. That's all you can think of it as. It's a pigsty. Civilization is shit. You know, and you just have to wonder about people who are willing to lay an egg in it. I mean, just how evil are they? But you know, again, motivated by religion, lots of things, lots of ways they sidestep their personal responsibility in the destiny of their kids and the world. And they just pretend it's God's problem, somebody else's problem. It's not their problem. It's not their fault. It's not their responsibility. And, you know, those are all the evasions. So it's all going to end happily ever after in the end. Yes, exactly. When it's over, then it's happily ever after. No more torture. All right. Well, anyway. All right, so we'll call it a video. So I could apologize that it's not, you know, again, I took notes and I'm saying, okay, this is sort of a direction to try to take this whole idea of how much would it take to bribe people out of their desire to procreate. And I guess I'm sort of arguing that it wouldn't take much. All I have to do is figure out what their fantasy is and tell them, I'll give you that instead of your this boring game to play. I'll give you this much more exciting game to play. And I think clearly they would choose the more exciting game. But I guess they have concluded the exciting game is off the table, and so they're just going to go to the default. You know, the 5 cent game rather than the $5 game. They can't afford the $5 game, so they're going to play the 5 cent game. And that's married with children. Eek. Yeah. Shudder. All right, anyway, so until the next time, and such, and so forth, and whatnot. Yeah. Yeah, this is okay. Yeah. I mean, every video has something in it, right? So this had a lot of little stuff in it, so maybe one of the little pieces is really a good little piece. Maybe. Yeah, maybe. Anyway. I tried. Yeah, I just, sometimes you miss. Yeah, it just happens.